It's a big story, let's face it. And so they went after a big attorney, and Jeffrey Figer's a big attorney. As the Detroit police continued to investigate Sunday's fatal shooting of that 22-year-old Porter Burks by five police officers, their attorney is representing the obviously an openly mentally ill man and his family, and he is preparing a lawsuit against what he calls, he called it in the newspaper I see, they say, lawyer alleges firing squad death. And I, you know, I saw Jeffrey on television last night, which is not unusual, especially when he's deeply in a case like this. So I hope we can find him because he's scheduled to be with us right now. Oh, we do have him. All right. Very good. Jeffrey, it's been way too long. Good morning. Welcome back to the Paul W. Smith Show.
Thank you. I've been watching you on television. You need to get off that roof, Paul.
Oh, man. I 53, 54 years of being in the business, and I get more attention from doing the Victor's Roofing television commercials than I've ever had for anything. But anyway.
Get off that damn roof, Paul.
Okay. All right, Jeffrey, I will.
Not safe for you.
Well, I don't go up the roof, and I tell all of my listeners, let Victor and his people go up on the roof, not them. What have you been up to? I know you've been wildly successful. I watch your commercials, An Army of One, usually very, very clever commercials and all of that. Have you been doing anything political? Have you thought about running for office again or anything at all?
Well, if I ever did, I'd have to be for president, I guess. I've done the governor thing, and it wouldn't really interest me. Maybe senator, president, but I haven't thought about it lately. I've been too busy working.
Who would you support for president now?
Well, I mean, I'd, as between who?
Well, yeah, that's true. We don't know yet between
right.
who. But, I mean, I could not in good conscience vote for a man who is in President Biden's circumstances and position right now.
Why?
Because I think it would be foolish, because he is not capable of getting through the day without some horrific blunder, and you can say, well, he's 80 or 81 or whatever he is. That's correct. My grandfather lived to be 100, but I wouldn't have voted for him for president at that point because it just wouldn't be among his capabilities. But let's not waste our time.
I haven't seen evidence of that. I don't know. I see him walking around. I don't know what the blunders that you're talking about are. You mean
right,
like
Jeffrey,
making a deal with
Jeffrey, I'm not going to. Jeffrey, I should have known better.
Oil.
I should have known better. Okay. I want to get to this story. This family deserves your attention. You are brilliant, as you always are on television. But I do find myself yelling back to the television. You know, you're right, Jeffrey. We don't shoot heart patients. We don't shoot cancer patients. But generally speaking, they're not charging at us with a knife.
Yeah, well, I don't believe the video displays that. I think, Paul, if you see it, it's an execution. He was maybe 30, 40, 50 feet away from the officers. We do shoot wild animals with tranquilizer guns. We have the ability to approach him with those tanks that they use for bombs, with a closed car, with body armor. Why execute him? What was that about? Why shoot him 38 times? What's that about?
I don't understand that.
Why?
I think there is the broader question here, because we are dealing with more and more mentally ill people. Look at the knife guy.
That's what I talked about. I don't know if they covered that, but when I ran for governor during, I guess that was Engler's third term, he had defunded mental health in the state. We had closed all the mental health hospitals. So we had turned over, by default, the care of the mentally ill to prisons and police, which is totally unfair. And I said I agreed with the chief, Chief White, on that issue, that we have a mental health crisis and the police have no business dealing with it.
It's not fair to the police.
Absolutely not fair to them. They're not trained for that. That's not what they're in the business for. And why we're doing, they're trained to protect us from criminals and crime. They're not trained to deal with the mentally ill. And what happens invariably, and I was asked, should people call 911 if they're a loved one or family member is having a psychotic break? And I said, absolutely not, because too often than not, the police come and shoot them. And That's horrific. But what do we expect when we've turned over the care of ill people to police instead of mental health professionals?
Knowing that, and you're absolutely right, do you feel you still can make a case against the police officers who were placed in a situation they should never have been placed in?
Yes, because in this situation, this was an execution. Why?
Well, they did, Jeffrey. They did not say, okay, let's go to this house and execute someone. What a great day this is.
No, they didn't. They found him. They were told. The family did what they thought was appropriate. They called the police. They said, Mars. Brother, in this case, his brother had called the police, but he was his mom, and said he's got a pocket knife. He's running around the neighborhood. He's mentally ill, and they found him, and he's standing in the street. You can watch the video.
I watched it.
See how far away they are. They're not 6 feet or 3 feet away. They're 30, 40, 50 feet away, and I believe when you see him, and believe me, they cut off the video just at the point he lifts up his arms. Well, I believe that was the point. He was being tased, and they shot him. And I think firing squads are closer than that. They shot him from... And the police said the last shot was 6 feet away. The first shot was 40 or 50 feet away.
Well, but you know... But you know, Jeffrey, as I've heard and you've heard from police officers, in those circumstances, when someone is charging at you with a weapon... You can shoot them 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and they still make it to you, oftentimes. Astonishingly, I found it astonishing myself, but I've heard it enough times from police who've been in the circumstances that they've gone through it. More to the point,
listen,
I agree.
All they had to do was sit in their car, and he
well, that's that's more to the point. I agree with you that. How did we get to a position with a standoff between the police officers feeling vulnerable and a guy who's mentally ill with a knife? They shouldn't have been in that position. I will agree with you there. But when you're called and it's the heat of the moment, we don't yet have a better way of dealing with it. We do need
that. That's not true. I just told you. You could use a tranquilizer gun. They would on a wild animal. You could use your car. Why did they get out of their car? The chief said, we get out of the car. Why? Stay in your car if you felt dangerous. He'd still be alive, and nobody'd be hurt. He can't hurt you with a little 3.5-inch knife.
Yeah, that was another thing you did brilliantly on television last night, because we've been referring to it as an 8-inch knife, but apparently the 8 inches is from one end of the knife to the other.
Right, it's
and you
a
do the blade.
3.5-inch blade. That's ridiculous.
But honestly, Jeffrey, you wouldn't want anyone attacking you with a 1-inch blade.
No,
I
would not.
Nobody.
And I wouldn't get out of a car, and if my job was to protect an obviously mentally ill person, and I knew that they presented either a danger to themselves or others, I'd stay in my car, and the police could stay in his car. He's not doing anything. He's just standing there.
Well, this again goes back to training, and they're
Exactly. They're trained to shoot, and unfortunately, that's a societal problem. I've got a little baby cat here. It's me.
I hear the baby cat. That's funny. Picturing Jeffrey Figer with a little baby cat.
Yeah, her name is Kiwi.
Kiwi?
Yeah. Kiwi Figer.
Martini. I heard Martini in there somewhere.
Yeah, their middle name. The vet had named her by...
That's Keeney, I hear in the background, I think.
Exactly.
Keeney is talking about the cat. Well, anyway, we're going to talk again, because this is not going to be a short case, I don't believe,
unless you're
looking for a settlement or whatever. I think it would be good if you can help affect change that will be better for all of us.
Absolutely, and that's what I'd like to do.
All right. Quick question, because I forgot, and I now want to ask it. The president just absolved, I guess, people who had been federally charged with marijuana usage.
Correct.
And all I was wondering about, Jeffrey, and you would know, there's always a plea down or plea bargain or whatever that I hear about. So these people who now get let go because it was pled down to simple usage, does that mean that the people who were in sales, et cetera, other higher crimes that were pled down to usage are going to get let go too? Or maybe you're okay with all that?
I'm okay with that, probably, if the prosecutor felt it was okay to plead them to usage. I think it's okay with that. I had advocated that 22 years ago when I ran for governor. We should have decriminalized marijuana. I was roundly scorned for that, and look what's happened.
Well, you were ahead of your time, Jeffrey. Always a nice time talking with you. Always interesting. You're a sharp, bright guy, and I appreciate you, and we'll talk again soon, and we want to follow this case.
I appreciate you too, Paul. Thanks.
Jeffrey Figer, one of the most famous attorneys we've ever had in Detroit, at least known nationwide, worldwide. It is, he's a great promoter too. 747 at 760 WJR.